Hey guys, this is Stan.
And Thomas.
And you're listening to the Exotic Car Hour. What is up, guys? Thank you for tuning in. If you're into cars, especially exotic cars, I think you're going to dig it. Thomas and I have some wacky stories from around Beverly Hills, mostly like Southern California car culture.
Yeah.
Mostly exotics. My name is Stan Kaplan.
Thomas Hodges.
And let's start with, what is the fastest that you've gone on the street?
Pretty fast. Pretty fast.
Go.
I don't know what the rules, I'm pretty fast. What's the fastest you've gone on the street?
148.
I got you beat. That's all my lawyer will let me to say. I definitely got you beat.
By how much? You don't have to say where or where with who. The cops can't track you down if there's no car involved.
A noticeable amount. Mine was in a Lamborghini Aventador. What was yours?
Mazda RX-8.
Which I think it's more impressive that you did that.
And it was slightly downhill.
Because I don't know, it would have to be. I don't know that I would trust a Mazda to go that fast. That's ballsier if you think about it.
I mean, so this is my old car. It was bone stock. And I was on my way home from Willow Springs.
Mm-hmm.
So I had gone like...
You didn't get it out of your system at Willow Springs?
That's the thing, is you don't, right? Like, everything feels slow.
Right, yeah, I know.
Afterwards, so I'm driving home, and I had gone on the front straight of Willow, I think I hit like 145 or something.
Because
mm-hmm. I'm really quick coming out of turn 9. So I knew
it was... Right, Schumacher.
I really am. So I'm doing good, I'm coming down the hill, I've got my radar detector, I know it's clear... And I'm like, well, let's see what she'll do, right? And RX-8s don't have a lot of torque. They're not, like, top speed machines, right?
How many good stories start out with, let's see what this thing will do?
Oh, a ton.
Well, good stories and fatalities and...
I mean, right. So, I hit 145 and she had more in her. But I was coming to, like a construction-y area where I've hit that at 80 and it felt okay, but I didn't want to hit it at 140... Because you don't know what the car's going to do.
Yeah.
So I slowed down. I've done other stuff in the 120-ish
mm-hmm.
in exotics.
Which is nothing. They feel like they're not even...
Well, so that's the thing. So I had a customer... I was working at an auto gallery. I was a service writer. And mm-hmm. I had a customer come in and he said, I hear a vibration. This is an F430.
Mm-hmm.
I hear a vibration at over 100. And I'm like, dude, that's your problem. What are you going to do about it? Like, whatever, right? But anyway,
are you supposed to tell them, like, hey, there's no place where the speed limit is 100, so why are you even... Is there, like, some kind of, like...
Yeah, it's definitely not
legal, because he's basically asking you to make sure that his car is safe at speeds that he's not supposed to go.
True, but I'm literally working for the company that sold him a 200-mile-an-hour car.
That car does not go 200 miles an hour.
190.
Okay.
A Ferrari F40? 430?
Does it?
That's pretty quick. Maybe a 180-something. I don't know.
You went from 200 to 190 something to 180 something.
I know, I was exaggerating, but
that shows the confidence.
It's a fast
in that car.
Okay,
but so what? I've worked for Lambo, Rolls, Bentley. I think I probably sold 2 Aston Martins, so I don't know if that counts, but
counts.
And then you worked what for service for Ferrari?
Ferrari, Maserati, Bentley, Rolls Royce, Lamborghini, Aston Martin, Bugatti. They didn't have McLaren at the time. That's it as far as that goes. Then I ran a shop running the Eleanor Project, building Eleanor Mustangs from Guns 2 Seconds.
Which was probably the hottest thing in the world for a little while, right?
It was pretty cool, I gotta
say. Like around the Gone in 60 Seconds movie coming out, the second one, I feel like that car...
It was later on. They were less hot because we were the third shop to build it. But we did a really good job with them, and they were all Roush powered. So we had different powertrains. So like we had Roush 427... Coyote and the supercharged Coyote that actually had more power than the 427 does.
Mm-hmm.
But I took out one of the 427s. This is in Chatsworth, so this is like 118 freeway. It's always open.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how the vintage cars of the 60s, they get floaty at certain speeds?
Well, that's what I'm saying. New stuff, like a newer exotic at 140.
Is nothing.
It doesn't even feel like... It feels actually safer because the aero starts working and starts pushing and you feel like...
A 67 Mustang at over 110 feels dumb.
Sketchy.
It feels dumb. Now, mind you, also the alignment wasn't fully dialed in, so you might have had some crazy toe going on. But it was just not safe.
So my point is, if we're going to try to explain why people should listen to us, if someone's stuck around through all of this, then we're probably good. But
right,
true. Just to confirm it, we both work for pretty cool brands in Southern California.
With cool cars. I used to race.
Which is, for lack of a better phrase, a complete freak show. The exotic car scene in Southern California.
Oh, Jesus.
I mean, good and bad.
Yeah.
But I think anyone who's been around it for more than about 5 minutes could tell you it's a complete circus.
I think anybody that's tuned in to anything made by Hollywood that is quote-unquote a reality show, you can extrapolate that to the automotive world as well.
Yeah.
Whether it's Beverly Hills Housewives or it's West Coast Customs or whatever it is, that is true. Now add millions of dollars and people get weird.
It seems like the more money, the weirder. Like, have you noticed some of those Bugattis? Like, there's that one that's black and yellow with red interior.
Not the Hellbee.
No.
Which
it's
one?
It's black and yellow with red interior.
Bichon's?
No.
Okay, so you gotta be more specific.
It's black and yellow with red interior. It's not Bichon's. But it's just so crazy, and I feel like there was just some eccentric guy with tons of money who was like, how can I just make this thing weird because I'm rich and I can do what I want?
Oh, you mean the way he spec'd it?
Yeah, like it doesn't... Oh.
All right.
Like so, trying to just be obnoxious. Do you know what I mean? I feel like that kind of exemplifies like the exotic where people, you know, sometimes people will wrap a car like really obnoxious or they'll put like really obnoxious wheels.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost
for sure.
It's almost like they know it's ugly, but they're trying to say like,
hey,
you don't have taste.
It's ugly?
I mean, some of it you'd have to. Black and yellow with red interior, how can you not think that that's ugly?
Okay, so this is interesting. So hold on. This is an interesting direction to go into because when you worked for Lamborghini, you guys would actually spec cars that made it to the showroom that people bought.
Yeah, and I never did a black and yellow with red interior.
How do you decide what a $500,000 car is going to look like? Like, how do you have the balls to do that? Like, this is it. I'm ordering this. It's going to go in the showroom and somebody's going to buy it. What if they don't? Could you imagine?
Well, if they don't, then people are like, who picked the colors on this thing? And then it's not very hard to figure out the answer.
So, like,
to that.
I saw your post about speccing out a pearl white. Or pearl white or yellow?
The yellow.
The Aventador?
Yeah.
Oh, it's yellow.
The one that I just posted.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was the. Well, it's almost the color that was on the 50th anniversary Aventador.
Uh huh.
But they won't let you do that exact color.
Okay.
So this was like the closest that they'll let you
so
do is because they
sample?
Wanted. It's not really paint to sample. It's a color that they have.
It's in the book.
It's weird how different manufacturers are so weird. But Lamborghini was interesting. But yeah, I mean that's one of the only things I really miss about working in a dealer was being able to actually build the cars and stuff. It's pretty interesting.
That is pretty cool.
It was pretty cool. It's pretty interesting. It's cool when you. It's like. Anyone can go on the configurator. It's like doing that, but then you actually pick it, and then they send you, hey, the car's in production, and then when it shows up, and you know you pick, like, the stitching on the seats, or you pick the style of the seats, or the wheels, or the brakes, or whatever, I mean, it's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you have money for that, which I don't, not a lot of people get to experience that, you know?
For sure.
And a lot of people just buy stuff that's there. Most people don't actually take, I mean, some people do, but...
You know what's weird? That's super popular in Asia.
Specking cars or just buying what's there?
Like no, specking like extreme levels of custom spec on cars.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like in Japan and in China, I think more so in China, you see cars driving around and they're just crazy.
Isn't that a sign
specs.
That there's just like too much money? Like just too much. They're like
I think it's a blanket
statement. I want my name in the door jam. You know,
right.
It's like I think we've gone too far. This is a green Lamborghini. Do you really need your initials in the headrests?
Can I be honest with you?
Sure.
If I had the money, I totally would.
Figures.
I would be like, okay, I want you to match the color to my wife's eyes, and I want the, you know, the stitching to match whatever, her purse, and I want my name on the sill. I want, you know, custom this. I want, when I get rid of it, when I'm bored in 6 months and I sell this car and get sold again, in 30 years when it's at auction, still my car.
Okay, so I got a story. So you know Michael Fuchs, the guy from Chicago that has the craziest, one of the craziest car collections, I think, probably in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, insane stuff.
Isn't that his green
Senna? Yeah.
Okay.
So the story that I was told from someone who was there was, he'd had every car ever, and he goes to Monterey, he goes to Pebble Beach, and whatever crazy car is coming out, all the manufacturers like, hey, we're coming out with a 720 McLaren. And he's like, hey, I'll take that. Rolls-Royce like, hey, we're going to come out with the Dawn. You know, whoever's coming out with stuff, they go to him because they know he wants the first one. Like, right. The first center.
Right.
So he's thinking, I have every... And he likes crazy colors, you know? Like, he's got that, like, mint. He's got a green... I'm trying to think what it is. Is it a Wraith or a Dawn? That's, like, literally this coffee mug. It's, like...
Which, okay, so there's light three, green, there's three dark greens. Green. So which
you got to find it. It's all of those colors, like in the
so. Car. Okay, to describe it because we're on podcast.
It's like teal, it's turquoise, like green,
sea foam, and then forest green, and then like British racing green.
But it's insane. But so here, this plays into exactly what you're saying. So McLaren had said, hey, the 720S will be the big car next year.
Okay,
we'll build you one. You can have the first one. And he goes, okay. And then Rolls says, we're going to build you a Dawn. That's going to be the hot car next year. What color do you want? And he was somewhere in Monterey, and he saw, like, some pretty pink-purple flowers. And he picked off a leaf of a flower petal, tore it in half, gave half to Rolls and said, I want the car to be this color exterior. And then gave half to McLaren and said, I want the exterior to be this car. So then the next year, he had a Dawn and a 720S in this, like, ultraviolet pink-purple. This is the craziest thing you've ever seen. So
that is the coolest story ever.
It's pretty cool.
That's pretty freaking awesome.
It's pretty baller. I mean, to be like, I have every color, so now can you please make me one of this random flower? And I mean, you can look them up. They're actually pretty cool. So yeah, I think that's cool. But that's also cool because the story's cool.
That's the thing is when you get into the supercar.
When it's like, hey, when some lady and she's like, I want it to color my favorite nail polish. That seems less cool. Or, I got another one for you.
Well, because the nail polish is somebody else's brand anyway.
I got another one for you.
Yeah.
So, underneath the Beverly Hills Hotel, they have, like, the private garage.
Yeah.
Not where everyone goes in valets to the left, but...
I know.
They have the private garage.
I used to take care of those cars for them.
And so...
The Ferraris.
Steve McQueen has a Mercedes that's in there, and it's this blue. And the guy that runs the garage said that Steve McQueen picked that blue because it's the same blue as his eye color.
Of course he did.
That's baller. I think that's you.
That's egotistical as hell if it's your own eye color.
Slash baller. But I mean, maybe if it was like the eye color of like your wife. I mean, that stuff like that's kind of
that's
neat.
Okay. So the reason I say like my wife's eyes and that kind of thing, because I think that's cool and I like when people do that because they do that. And I don't know if this story is true. Okay. But here's what I like.
Any story that you hear that's I don't know if the story is true is usually a good story.
So allegedly... This might be an internet rumor. I'm really into space stuff, okay? I got the Space Watch. Like, I like aerospace. Everything from SR-71 Blackbird to the space program. Okay. So, allegedly, and I forget the guy's name. I should have written it down. The last astronaut that actually walked on the moon,
mm-hmm.
American astronaut,
mm-hmm.
he knew the program was getting defunded.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd be the last guy on the moon, or at least for a while.
Did he take a handful of moon rock or something?
No, he wrote his daughter's name in the moon dust.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, if it's dust, you'd think that'd blow over in like 2 days, right?
There's no wind on the moon.
You think it's still there?
If the story is true, it's definitely still there. Their footprints are there.
Well, hopefully we'll go back. We'll
Why? See. The hell are you going to do on the moon?
We'll find out. I don't know. We'll see. I got a lot of
Don't get into conspiracies. We're not that
and
far.
And I was gonna even tell a cool SR-71 Blackbird story, but that's rabbit hole. We'll save that.
There is a very cool story that's told by the co-pilot.
Yeah,
and the pilot.
The ground speed one.
Yes.
Yeah,
it's a good story. We'll do that story later. I've got a more relevant question for you.
But the Michael Fuchs flower thing is the coolest thing I've ever heard.
That is pretty cool.
So far, do you put that above Steve McQueen? It's eye color.
I'm gonna.
Can you imagine though when he told girls when Steve McQueen pulls up and goes hop in my Mercedes that matches my eye color.
See, I think that's douchey. I don't think it's a good thing.
Well, you're not the target market.
Okay.
You weren't what he was trying to impress.
Do you think Steve McQueen needed a car that was his eye color to bring girls in?
Absolutely
I don't
not.
Think he did.
Absolutely not.
So I think it's douchey.
I think
you ruined a car.
It's pretty car, though.
Is it
it's
pretty color?
It's like a dark blue. I mean, it's pretty. It's very pretty.
But didn't he have light blue eyes, though?
Yeah, it's a blue. I don't know.
Okay, fine. All right. Off the tangent because Steve McQueen's eyes are getting me horny.
Makes two of us.
Hypercar versus supercar.
What is the difference?
What is the distinction?
I don't know. And then like mega car, giga car.
Sure, sure.
It's all becoming silly.
So like an Aventador. 488 Pista is got to be a supercar. But it's not a Vulcan. right? It's not a Concept One. So those are hypercars. But those aren't a
Chiron. Or is it just like those are supercars? Now a supercar needs...
Or is that just a sports car?
I don't know. I don't know, and I think that doesn't really matter. Because everybody, you know, people are like, hey, I bought a 458. I'm so happy I own a hypercar. It's like, they're all just, it's silly.
If you bought a 458 and you tell me you own a hypercar, I'm calling bullshit on that one.
But see, but there's no definition for any of them.
And that's what I'm trying to decide right here, right now. What is the definition?
I think it should just be like whatever the cutting edge thing is, that's a supercar. So in 2000, a supercar is one thing. In 2010, a supercar is another thing. Like now to be a supercar, you know what I mean?
It's a moving target, I agree. But then my question to you
Supercar should just be whatever the craziest stuff you can get is from each manufacturer.
So hypercars don't exist?
I think it's like... Well, I mean, what's... Is a Koenigsegg... Is every Koenigsegg a hypercar? Is only the latest Koenigsegg a hypercar?
Well, but a Koenigsegg doesn't have...
Because it by model or by manufacturer?
Okay, that's a good question. So here's the question. So every Bugatti, every Koenigsegg, every Pagani has to be a hypercar. Based on dollar amounts alone.
But that's dumb, because then you have all these goofy, like, what are the Zenvo, and all these goofy manufacturers. What's that one that has, like, the Devil?
Devil 16?
10,000.
Okay. 5,000 horsepower.
And they tell you, oh, this is worth $10 million.
Shut up.
But I guarantee you no one's bought one. So is that really a supercar? Would you really want that? Is that a hypercar? Or is that just, like, people with too much money
made
a goofy science project of a car?
Background on that.
All those are goofy, though. You know what I mean?
Not all of them, though. Because the Hennessy Venom GT or the Venom F5 is legit.
Zero interest. If you gave me one, wouldn't drive it.
Shelby S7? Really?
Saline S7?
That's what I meant. Saline S7? I mean, what you're saying is you wouldn't have bought the first Koenigsegg CC or the Pagani Zonda, the original one.
Well, if you look at those compared to the stuff they're putting out now...
But there's an evolution. You got to give them a chance.
I think supercars should be like the Hall of Fame. Like Bill Russell's in the Hall of Fame. You know, like John Stockton's in the Hall of Fame. But John Stockton now is old. But at his peak, he was the best of the day. I think like that, like an F40 should be a supercar. Just because now there's faster cars.
I agree.
People, you know.
Okay, but F40 was a supercar in its
day. I think whoever was the king of their day belongs enshrined as a supercar.
I know, but that target's moving daily.
Well, I know.
That's crazy.
Like a Veyron should always be a supercar or hypercar, because that...
I agree.
Even though in 10 years we'll have 300-mile-an-hour cars.
I'm not sure we will.
We will.
I'm not sure.
You know, I was thinking about the other day, because I posted a thing about someone tried to steal a car, but they couldn't steal it because it was a stick.
Yes.
Which, those articles are out all the time, but even to go a level further... There's a good chance like you won't even have to teach your kid to drive. Because you think about it. 10 years from now, we could be in all self-driving cars. Like,
easily.
So you teaching your kid to drive, much less drive stick, you may not have to do that.
True.
It'll just be self-driving Ubers in 10 years.
It certainly will be. But
isn't that weird?
But I think people that are into cars will also have a fun car in the garage.
I'd like to think so. But I'm just saying, in general, teaching your child to drive, which used to be like a rite of passage, and your parent had to roll around with you while you like ran over curbs and all that stuff may be gone.
Well, I think the scarier thing...
You know, like the first time your parent's like, hey, we're going to go in a parking lot, the empty parking lot, you're going to slowly drive around the parking lot. Like, all that stuff was kind of fun. Or like the first time you sit on their lap and they let you...
For me, stressful because my dad was freaking out the whole time.
The first time that you sit on their lap and steer, like all that stuff.
Yeah.
Which is like a cute bonding.
I've already done that.
Well, but I'm saying, whether it's 5 years or 10 years or 15 years or 20 years, that just won't be a thing anymore.
See, but I cut. So here's the
crazy part. For 98% of people.
Here's the crazy part. I am a parent. She's only 5 years old, so I've got a long way to go.
But there's a very good chance in 10 years we're not really driving cars anymore, for the most part.
Yeah, I got it. Let me make my point. Because you keep repeating the same point.
Well, I'm waiting for you to have an account.
I'm trying.
You got to jump in.
You want to tell me how there's 5 more years
I'm
coming?
I'm telling you.
I'm going to edit this part out. So what's crazy to me is that not that we won't be driving cars because I'm a car guy and that's weird. What's crazy to me is that I'll be okay putting my daughter into a car with a stranger 10 times a day.
It won't have a person in it.
You're going to
be putting your daughter in an aluminum box that self-drives, which is, I don't know if that's weirder.
I think that's further away.
Call it 15. Call it whatever. But it's not that far away.
Maybe. So you're saying just full-on autonomous Uber?
I think that's where it's going. And here's the thing. This ties into my... Way to go. You ruined the show.
I did.
This ties into... So this is what happened to me yesterday. So I went to 7-Eleven to get a Red Bull. I park. I come back out and I was on my phone looking for something. And this guy pulls in a Mustang. Like very close to my passenger side. And I just look. My car's on. I'm in it. So I'm thinking, like, if you're going to ding someone's car, you don't do it while they're in it and the car's on. Because that's like...
Unless you're an idiot.
Someone might pop out and stab you or something.
Right. Beat your ass. Sure.
Right. So I'm sitting, I'm looking at, like, the length of the door.
And just for reference, you're 6'5", right?
Granted, when I thought about it, though, my car is kind of gender neutral. Like, it could be a 16-year-old girl or it could be a 50-year-old dude. It's not like a jacked-up pickup truck with, like, NRA stickers and you're like, this is probably a person.
You got a four-door, is that an E90?
That's a BMW.
BMW 3/6? Yeah, yeah.
But so anyway, so I'm in it, the car's on, and I'm looking, like, this door is very long, and the guy's pretty close. But I'm thinking, he's not going to hit my car while I'm in it, right? Uh-huh. So then I see the guy, he's like a hefty older guy, and I see the door opening, and you know how doors kind of open, like, in segments?
Yes.
So he goes to, like, the first part, and then realizes he can't get out, and then the second part, and before it kind of, like, stops the second part, I just hear a thunk. And I'm like...
Oh my. What? So what do you do?
God. So my first reaction, anyone knows me, just like pure rage. I'm like, do I just like... So I roll down my window and I was in maybe like a little aggressive way. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, what? And I was like, you just hit my car. And he goes, oh. He goes, sorry. And he goes, it didn't even ding it. And I was just like... And so then the guy went in, and then I just drove off. I checked. It didn't, like, ding it. But I just thought, like, man, I don't know if the world's gone. But, like...
No, that's always been people.
That's a... For that's sure. A dick move.
It's
only... I never do that. I've hit my face on my car door trying to get into it because someone parked too close. And the craziest part was there was an open space to the right of where he parked.
That's a dick move.
So much of it... You. But the guy honestly seemed like he just had no idea. It wasn't like he was like, hey, man, you parked over the line. Then I would have got really pissed. But he genuinely seemed like he didn't know. Like, he just, it was
That's worse. Like, when you're so inconsiderate and you give so little, like, care to mm-hmm. what you do to other people's property.
Mm-hmm.
I don't, like, you don't get a pass for that. You're a bigger dick.
But I just thought, like, so I guess my point is when we all have self-driving Ubers, people dinging your car door in parking lots will be a thing of the past. Which I guess maybe is good. Right? Because you won't have a car. You just hop into Uber and they won't.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of positives. I think,
like, you won't get hit by housewives driving Escalades in mall parking lots if they're automated cars. So that's one.
I don't think that's, like, a major issue for
that's
me.
That's a serious concern.
But I think, you know what is an interesting issue?
Traffic.
Yes, but specifically, and this is not so much self-driving cars, but it's affected by them, everybody using like Waze or Google Maps and the algorithm knowing which way to take you and taking you. So I used to be the guy that knew all the back alleyways.
Have you ever had it take you through the corners?
Yes. So, like, you used to be able to cut corners and cut traffic.
Now everybody knows.
Everybody's. So I would hate to be the person living in the hills where now it's a traffic jam outside my house.
Right.
Before it was Stan flying past your door because I'm like, you bunch of suckers, I know which way to go.
Yeah.
Now it's just as jammed up.
Yeah, it's going to be weird.
Like Hollywood Hills, Mulholland.
Won't Waze be a thing of the past once we have self-driving cars? Because they'll have, like, some kind of Waze system and we won't need Waze. So won't Waze just die?
Well, Waze is just a basically a provider, an app
that they did well. They'll be dead.
They're already dead because Google bought them. So Google Maps uses Waze.
Nobody will use Google Maps.
They will if they're driving themselves.
Yeah, but I'm saying that's all going to be gone.
Okay, but the self-driving car you're talking about is going to be a Google car that's going to be using Waze. So I can't say they're going to be dead.
Right, but I'm saying people won't be using it on their phone. What else will die? What's going to be the biggest casualty? Like, what will be the blockbuster to the Netflix of the self-driving car?
Independent repair shops.
Well, but someone's going to still get the...
Yeah, but if you're...
It'll be like Google or something?
Yeah, it'll be a subcontractor. So the mom and pop shop that, like, does your oil change and your brakes around the corner, like, you can, like, haggle with and you've known them for 30 years, they're dead. It's going to be the same thing where manufacturers and dealerships have these giant body shops that are contracted to them. Mm-hmm. It's going to be the same thing. So if you're Google and all the cars on the road are self-driving Google cars, whoever buys that contract, whoever gives Google $1 billion to be their mechanical shop of choice throughout the world, that's going to be the strong move. And you as a service provider, like a regular mechanic shop, you won't have the tools or the knowledge to work on these cars. They already don't.
I think too, I think when we have self-driving cars, I think you'll still have like Bentley and Rolls and Ferrari, like there will still be... I wonder the speeding thing. I wonder how that's going to work though. Like can you... You know how like when you're in your car and you have to confirm navigation, I won't put up navigation while driving?
Yes.
Will it be something like I confirm that I'm aware that my car is going to speed and if I get in trouble? Or how like we'll see how will that all work? Like if I'm going to buy my Ferrari self-driving car because the thing's fast,
yeah,
I don't want it going 30.
Why would you want a self-driving Ferrari? It's like counterintuitive.
Well, if it's fast and it would be like... If you're like, hey, let's go through the hills a little quick, and it could be the equivalent of like riding with Fernando Alonso.
Yeah, I don't anticipate any of the car companies having an autonomous mode that breaks the law.
So then sports cars, self-driving sports cars, it'll just be like, but Bentley and Rolls will still be able to say, hey, we're going to have way better interiors and cool, funky options. Sure,
but no.
But so there won't be self-driving Ferraris, really?
There'll be a self-driving feature, but if you want to go fast through the canyons, it'll hand you the wheel, I think.
That'll be interesting, right?
Because who gets a ticket? Right?
Well, definitely it would be you. That's what I'm saying.
But
if you had to click a thing that says, I'm confirming that I'm speeding.
Okay, so now here's a follow-up question to that. If you're confirming that you're speeding, what stops the state or federal government to just send you a ticket in the mail because you just confirmed you were speeding?
Well, just because you confirm that you're aware that it may speed doesn't mean you necessarily
speed. Now you're going through some serious... Because think about it this way. You talk about the data gathering the Formula One has.
Mm-hmm.
These self-driving cars have the same. They know what you're doing, when you're doing. And the precedent has already been set about lawyers getting the black box data from your Mercedes, where you said you were going 45 and a 35... And your car says you're going 120 in full throttle.
They can do that now, though, right?
They are doing that.
Yeah.
But so here's my point. You bought a Mercedes, and I'm thinking a specific one where a guy in a C63 crashed into a guy in a convertible and somebody died. I mean, a Corvette.
I feel like the person that buys a C63 in general is looking for trouble. Isn't that like we were talking about yesterday, like cars that are car guy cars that are not car guy cars? That's like a...
I like AMGs.
Do you agree? No, I'm not saying I don't, but I'm saying the person that buys a C63 of all the cars in the lineup, to me,
like, I don't know,
is a person looking for a problem.
More so than an M3 guy? Or an RS5, RS4 guy?
Similar, but I think more. I think the Mercedes C63, from my experience, the people usually with that car are just like looking for trouble. You know what I mean?
I think, okay, here's where I agree with you. I think the C63, and also by association,
it's usually a younger dude who bought it because he's like, look how fast I can go.
It's
always speeding.
It's a Mustang guy with more money.
Yes, which is a problem. I had Mustangs when I was a kid, and I was looking for trouble. So yeah, that's exactly my point.
And I'm going to go on record.
It's the Mustang guy with money, and the Mustang guy with money is the worst,
you know? Yeah, I agree. And I'm going to go on record and say he's probably Persian. At least in Southern California.
I mean, I don't know about that. Probably. But do you know what I mean? That, like, you know how they put, like, what's his name? Adam Carolla, they do the imaginary stoplight game. Like, on the left, you have, like, a Subaru STI with a grandma in it. And on the right, you have a mom in a minivan with a soccer sticker. And you got to figure out who's going to peel out from the light quicker.
Oh, I do it all the time in traffic.
So,
we're like, you have a choice who to get behind?
So, anytime that the C60...
Dude, grandma with the STI, because those are manual only. So you know she knows what she's doing.
But anytime the C63 is an option, the chances are that person's going to try to show off at any given time.
Oh, dude.
Super high.
I totally...
Here's a challenge. Come up with a car harder than that, or a car that's more like... If the C63 is on one lane, what car that's in the other lane would you pick over the C63 to tear out from the light?
Any car with painted black wheels.
No.
Not factory black wheels.
Well, like my best friend's wife drives an Escalade with black wheels.
And she painted them? So it's a blacked out Escalade? Like, it's after the fact? Or was it from the dealer?
I don't know.
Okay. So any sporty car, like another C63 with painted black wheels, that dude's gone.
over the guy with the standard
C63 wheel. Yes, all day long.
Nah, oh, I think the guy with the black wheels is trying to look pretty and fancy, and I don't think he's trying to race.
So okay, now we get into my background and what I did for Oguera. I did all the aftermarket stuff for Oguera.
So you know firsthand, the guy that wants black wheels is a problem.
Every single person that I talked to that wanted a wing, a carbon fiber package, a loud exhaust, blacked out wheels, blackout. So there's a certain demographic that likes the blackout package because like it's got the gangster look, right? Even if it's a Lambo or it's a Rolls Royce, they like it blacked out because they look kind of cool. They look kind of mean that way.
100%.
So yes, but if you're in a sporty car, like a C63, like an M3, E63, M5, something like that, and you got painted black wheels, like not factory, I guarantee they're curb rashed. I guarantee that you cheaped out on the tires when you had to buy them, and your car is suffering in performance because you couldn't afford good tires, or you don't think good tires are important, and you drive like an idiot. So here's part of my evidence. Do you watch...
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Do you watch comedians in cars getting coffee?
Yeah, I haven't seen them all, but yeah.
Okay, so there's one episode where Seinfeld is driving in traffic and somebody cuts him off in New York in traffic. And the guy next to him, and Jerry kind of brags. He's like, I knew that was going to happen. Because he's like me. He's driving in traffic and he's judging people based on the car. He knows what moves they're going to make.
You'd know, right?
And it was a guy in a BMW with black painted wheels, or Audi, I forget. And he's like, I knew he was going to cut me off because he has black painted wheels.
Isn't that funny?
Yeah, because you know who it's going to be. Like, you, correct me if I'm wrong, when you drive in LA long enough, you almost start anticipating other people's moves.
Well, it's like
a, you see they're crowding the left side.
Self-preservation.
A little bit.
The craziest one is when you go around like a, when you have two lanes going right around a corner.
Yeah.
The person from that inside lane will always drift into the outside lane. You know what I mean? So I'm always like, I always let them go.
Use all the track.
I always let them go and have watch. Yeah, but this is a lane, not a racetrack.
I know.
You know? And I always let them go a little in front of me. And sure enough, they always get like right. And I'm like, if I'd been there, you would have taken off my mirror. LA is insane. LA is a war zone for driving. Like when people come from out of town to visit, like what is going on with everybody?
You know what's crazier? So people in LA are generally speaking... And I don't care who's listening to this, if you don't agree to it, they're generally speaking inconsiderate.
And texting.
It's hard to blame for that, but inconsiderate. And here's what
I
mean.
It's hard to blame someone for texting while driving?
Here's what I mean. What I mean is this. If you're in traffic on the freeway, and I don't mean like it's not moving. I mean like 30, 45, 50 miles an hour traffic. Mm-hmm. Like it's heavy, but it's not stopped.
Mm-hmm.
And you turn on your blinker. Let's say you want to go to the right lane on a freeway. You put your right blinker on. The person to your right is not going to slow down and let you in. They're going to accelerate.
Right. Which is what causes traffic. If you read about it, that's really what causes
I know.
Traffic.
So that's why you don't put on your blinker and you just merge in front of them.
Right.
Because if you give them the heads up, they don't want you in front of
and
them.
And pray
so
to God that they're not texting and crash into you.
Everybody's texting.
But anyway, hopefully you've done enough to convince people that we know what we're talking about when it comes to cars.
Oh, you want to cut the segment? Okay, fair
enough. Well, no, but I'm just saying, I don't know, have we?
I think...
Is there anything else that you've got that's like an ace up your sleeve that'll really impress people? I think
we're good. Take it easy, guys. That was a lot of fun, guys. Thanks for joining us on the Exotic Car Hour. Catch us on Instagram and Facebook and tell us what you thought. Take it easy.